The epistle reading for this morning, which comes from 1 John chapter 5, verses 9 through 13. If we receive human testimony, the testimony of God is greater. For this is the testimony of God, that he has testified to his Son. Those who believe in the Son of God have the testimony in their hearts. Those who do not believe in God have made him a liar by not believing in the testimony that God has given concerning his Son. And this is the testimony. God gave us eternal life, and this life is in his Son. Whoever has the Son has life. Whoever does not have the Son of God does not have life. I write these things to you who believe in the name of the Son of God, so that you may know that you have eternal life. This is the word of God for us, the people of God. Thanks be to God. And why don't you take a moment, stand.
Our scripture lesson this morning comes from John's Gospel, the 17th chapter, verses 16 through 19. And out of reverence for the gospel, I'm going to ask you to stand as you're able as we read these words of Jesus. Jesus said, "I have made your name known to those whom you gave me from the world. They were yours, and you gave them to me, and they have kept your word. Now they know that everything you have given me is from you. For the words that you gave me, I have given to them, and they have received them, and know in truth that I came from you, and that they have believed that you sent me. I am asking on their behalf. I'm not asking on behalf of the world, but on behalf of those whom you gave me, because they are yours. All mine are yours, and all yours are mine, and I have been glorified in them. And now I am no longer in the world, but they are in the world, and I am coming to you. Holy Father, protect them in your name that you have given me, so that they may be one as we are one. And while I was with them, I protected them in your name that you have given me. I guarded them, and not one of them was lost, except the one destined to be lost, so that the scriptures might be fulfilled. But now I am coming to you, and I speak these things in the world, so that they may have my joy made complete in themselves. I have given them your word, and the world has hated them because they do not belong to the world, just as I do not belong to the world. I am not asking you to take them out of the world, but I ask you to protect them from the evil one. They do not belong to the world, just as I do not belong to the world. Sanctify them in the truth. Your word is truth. And as you have sent me into the world, so have I sent them into the world. For their sakes I sanctify myself, so that they may also be sanctified in truth." This is the word of God for the people of God. Thanks be to God. You may be seated. So this particular passage of scripture is a prayer. Jesus' life is coming to an end. His life on earth, his earthly, physical life. And he is trying to prepare his disciples for what's coming in the future. And we all know that story, right? The whole Easter, the crucifixion, resurrection story. And so what Jesus does is he prays to God in the presence of these disciples, so that they can hear him saying things that he's been trying to teach them all through the year, all through the years that they've been together. What are some of the sayings that you were taught by your mom and dad or your grandparents as you were growing up? They were little short snippets. They were easy to remember. I can remember the one that that came to my mind as I was thinking about this was what my grandmother used to say to me, pretty is as pretty does. And I didn't understand that for a long, long time, but now I do. And these sayings they sound a little simplistic, but they're usually pretty profound. And they always seem to deal with how we acted. Do you realize that? They kind of always were talking about how we behaved. That's just the pretty is as pretty does. It's kind of a spin-off of the sermon title for today, which is Actions Speak Louder Than Words. And that's a pretty good one, too. I think I was taught that at some point as well. Again, that's very, very simple, but it's very, very true. Jesus is coming to the end of his ministry. And both actions and words are very important in this case. He wants them to remember what it is he's tried to teach them. But he also wants to remember them to remember the actions that he did, the things that he did along the way, and the things that will happen to him as he prepares to go to the cross. Jesus is drawing near to the very source of life, and he's trying to summarize his work as he's praying this prayer to his disciples. And every aspect of the prayer that the Lord is making today in that gospel text, he has lived out in his life, has he not? He's been teaching his disciples with words, but he's also been trying to show them how to minister, how to behave, how to love, how to care for other people. And other people have been blessed through his ministry. Jesus's life was a perpetual prayer. Amen? His life is a continual offering of himself to God and to those whom God had given him to serve. And in this prayer, he just continues to bear witness. The passage that Jeff read for you talks about your testimony. We don't talk about testimony much anymore, but it's showing how we live the Christian life. This prayer will further confirm that as Jesus moves toward his passion, that he had the ultimate love for his people, that he cared and had compassion for the whole human race as he takes on the sins of the world. And as we read this prayer, we can be sure that it's offered for more than just those disciples who were present with him during his lifetime on earth. Because you see, we are here today, and we are hearers of this prayer. And the Lord is praying this prayer to us just as much as he was praying this prayer for his disciples. As we open ourselves up to the Lord, we may discover that this prayer is about us. For you, for me, as strongly as it was for James and John and Peter and Thomas and even Judas. Perhaps today, more than any other time in the Christian church, we need to experience the power of this prayer that the Lord shared to God as his disciples overheard. It's hard to watch TV anymore because you hear about the latest police shooting, the latest war that's coming up, or rumors of wars. there is an incredible sense of upheaval and violence in our world. And it just sometimes overwhelms us. Does it overwhelm you? It overwhelms me sometimes when I just hear it over and over and over again. And we begin to feel a little bit hopeless. Are we really making a difference in the world today as Christians? Are we as the church making a difference in the world today? Well, I believe that Jesus' prayer is very clear that Christians are in the world. We're not called to be away from the world. We're not called to separate ourselves from the world, but rather our Lord knew very well that we were to participate in the world, that we were to be out in the world trying to make a difference, trying to do the things that God would want us to do, showing that actions do speak louder than words, making our witness known. Our call is to accept His word and His truth and the guidance of the Holy Spirit. What is it that Jesus tells us to do, and what did Jesus do in His life? He talks about loving your enemies and praying for people who persecute you. I firmly believe that Christianity, participating in the ministry of our Lord Jesus Christ, may be the best, if not the only, way to change the world and the violence that we see in it. Our Lord knew we would be in the world. And He said, "Now I am no longer in the world, but they are in the world," or "you are in the world." And I don't believe our Lord was naive about the challenges that His disciples and the church would face. He had seen a lot of stuff. He faced religious corruption. He faced a corrupt political system. He lived in a country that was occupied by an oppressive force, Rome. And yes, our Lord didn't have the same technologies that we have today. He didn't have social media, praise the Lord, thank goodness. And He likely didn't need to deal with issues like identity theft and methamphetamines or reports of global warming or even nuclear warfare. But our Lord had to face some pretty difficult things in His life. Some things that cause human sin to flourish. And Jesus prays that His disciples will be one as they seek to battle these same forces. Christ is calling us as His church to be one. Christ is calling us to come together and deal with the issues that come our way. He realized and He knew that there was conflict among His disciples. They had been arguing about who was going to be the best, who was going to be sitting at His right hand. He knew that Judas was going to betray Him. He knew that Thomas was going to deny or was going to doubt whether He was really the Lord or not. Jesus was aware of the fact that it was hard holding the community of faith together in those short years that He wandered around in Israel. And certainly the church has struggled with unity ever since Jesus came. New factions and splits within the church come around at an alarming rate. You know that in our United Methodist Church, we have a very important meeting coming up next February that I think will have a huge bearing on how we move forward into the future on the issue of human sexuality. We do come together to split a lot. But Christ is telling his disciples that we're strongest when we are together, when we are working together, when we are putting the message of Christ first, when our actions are speaking louder than our rhetoric, than our belief systems. We need to remember that Christ is calling everyone. Our Lord strengthens us with his word. In fact, he is the word. Remember John's gospel at the beginning? His body, his blood, his resurrection, his ascension, his continuing prayer for and presence with his disciples and with us today through the Holy Spirit. The word that we have, also the word of the New Testament, which teaches us about the ministry of Jesus. We can come alive. That word comes alive as we go out into the world to share love. Our Lord gives us his word in action, in speech, to strengthen us and to participate in the world with a surety of his ministry working through us. Every age has its critical moments, and every generation has its challenges. Today, we may be challenged by an ever-increasing question: does Christianity matter in the world? It's not a new question. Paul wrestled with it. We've wrestled with it through the years. But we need to remember that we are a people of the resurrection, that we have a Savior, a Lord, who has triumphed over sin and death. We have a Lord who is willing not only to share the word with us, but to show us the word through his life. We have a Lord whose actions spoke louder than words when he was willing to stand up before the Roman authorities and say nothing. We have a Lord who was falsely judged by governmental authorities. We have a Lord who was persecuted for his faith. We have a Lord who was killed in a very difficult way. And we have a Lord who anticipated the needs of his followers. Even in the midst of all that he was coming before him, he took that time and he prayed for his disciples. We have a Lord who has been true to his promises to us to send an advocate, because we have the Holy Spirit to lead and guide us. We have a Lord who continues to nurture his church through his word and through his presence in the bread and wine that we will take in just a few minutes. And in the people of God who share his life because they know him as their Lord and they dedicate their lives to serving him. Actions speak louder than words. Pretty is as pretty does. Christ is calling to us today and saying those very things that my grandmother told me a long time ago now. And we need to remember them and take them to heart and let them fill us with God's presence so that we can remember that we are called not just to read the Bible, not just to listen to words of a sermon, but to go out and do and be for the world. In the name of the Father, the Son, and the Holy Spirit, amen. Let us pray. Gracious and holy God, we thank you for what you have done on our behalf. We thank you for loving us enough and believing in us enough to give your life as a sacrifice for our sins. For all that you teach us, for all the prayers that you say for us, Lord, may they stick. And may we be the person that you're calling us to be. Bring us together as one, that we might share the love of Christ with our world. In the name of the Father, the Son, and the Holy Spirit. Amen.